Today I'm going to be preaching from Psalm chapter 119. I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles and turn there. And as you are doing so, I want to affirm everything that Pastor Tim said this morning. If you have not met my wife, I did marry up. So everybody, y'all just give my wife a hand and y'all can ignore me. Lita, would you stand up for a second, please? Two months from now, we will celebrate 15 years of marriage. There is a God. Amen. How many of you remember taking driver's ed? How many of y'all had the distinct pleasure of having your father in the car with you when you were learning how to drive? That wasn't a good feeling for me. I remember being very pensive behind the wheel, very nervous behind the wheel. One, because I knew I was behind the wheel of this large vehicle, but two, I knew my father was sitting right beside me. And for me, I don't know why, but I remember with driver's ed, they taught you put one hand on this side of the wheel, one hand on that side of the wheel, and I just felt like I was tense. And I remember early on, in my first few driving lessons, I could not lift my eyes beyond the rim of the hood of the car for fear of hitting something. So here I am with very tense shoulders and only looking just beyond the edge of the hood on the car, and my father sitting right next to me. Can you guys feel the tension? So fast forward just a few years later, yes, I've got my driver's license, and the young man who was very pensive and tense behind the wheel, now I'm very relaxed. Hand, one hand on the wheel. Back where we come from, we leaned a little bit in the car. And so on this day, I had the vehicle driving home from my high school. And this wasn't a particularly dark day. You get out of high school in the bright of afternoon. But on this day, being the cocky young man who's got his driver's license and wants the world to know, I get about half a mile from my high school, change lanes, think I've got the right of way, and hit a school bus from my high school. You might ask me, how in the world did that happen? I'll tell you, I still believe this. That was a big school bus. It was in my blind spot. I want you to realize this morning, I want to call us back to the basics this morning, because I believe in God's word that sometimes we get a little bit big in our britches and we fail to realize all the provision and sufficiency that we have in God's word. We begin to relax a little bit and we end up causing a lot more damage in our lives because of our pride and our arrogance. You hear me this morning? And so what I want to do, I'm going to ask you to stand in honor of God's word this morning. We're going to read seven verses from Psalm 119. I'm going to begin in verse 105. And I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version this morning. Read along with me if you would. The Bible says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I'm exceedingly afflicted," verse 107 says, "revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Oh, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. I've inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. Would you bow with me in a quick word of prayer? Father, we ask you, Lord, that you would speak now by the power of your Spirit to these, your people. Lord, draw us by the power of your word in the name of Jesus, our Savior. We say amen. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. So the psalmist here begins, and I love the Psalter because they give full breath to the experience of humanity. And so there are some here today, perhaps, that came today because you're in need of some wisdom and some direction in your life. You don't have to raise your hand. I know you're here. I'm here. We need God's direction. And there's some here today who are struggling. Struggling with fear. Fear from circumstances that you know you have to face this week. Fears on the inside troubling you. Anxiety rising. And you need protection. There are others here today who feel a little down, discouraged. And you need a reminder today that God's word is all sufficient and provides joy no matter what it is that any of us here are struggling with. How many of you know you're in a great place this morning because we have an all sufficient God who's given us his all sufficient word for all of our needs? Amen. So in Psalm 119, for those of us who feel that we've gotten a little bit too big for our britches, I want to bring us back to the place where I was with driver's ed. Let's get back to the basics this morning. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. My wife and I, we love to travel, and every year we take a vacation by ourselves. And I'm the kind of guy, when we're going on vacation, it's not the journey that I enjoy. Because invariably we've got three small kids and the journey that's supposed to take 4 hours ends up taking 10. Because we got to stop, we got to go to the bathroom, we got to eat. My wife is somebody, however, that enjoys the moment. She likes smelling the roses. She likes the journey. I want to get to the destination where the vacation begins. I'm out there looking to arrive to the place that we are trying to get to. She's enjoying. She's sitting on the side, smiling on the way. I'm so frustrated. Tense again, like driver's ed. The word says God's word is a lamp to our feet. And many of us in our relationship with God, we trust God. We have these prayer requests for the big things in our lives, but we fail to heed God and seek God for the everyday, moment by moment, daily decisions that we have to make. And I want you to see this, because if his word is a lamp to our feet, light to our path, well, what does that mean? Well, before I can trust God for way over there, out yonder, I need to see God each step, each moment that I take. Because what happens when I've got lamp to my feet, I'm not seeing way out there. What I am seeing is each step that I make forward with God in his word, I'm getting a little bit light for my journey. And so as I get a little bit more light, I'm able to see a little bit further ahead as I keep walking in faithfulness to God and his word. His word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. How many of you are thankful for that this morning? He guides us. And the thing that I want you to see first and foremost through this message this morning is that God's word, it guides us. Some of us here are needing provision. Some of us needed protection. Some of us need a change in perspective. But all and through all, we see that God's word guides us. Well, how in the world does God's word guide us? I'll tell you, it guides us in our walk, in our daily living. Because if you look at verse 105, your words are a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. He guides our walk. One of the very first verses I ever remember committing to memory was during the days when I was in college. Got saved when I was 16. Got involved in ministry on my college campus, and every college student that's ever been in college, anybody that's ever lived, has struggled with temptation. And I'm wrestling with some things on my college campus, and I remember going through a Bible study with one of the men that was discipling me at the time, and we came across Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? Anybody been there? Struggle with that? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart, I've sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Because we know our hearts are prone to wander. It's very easy for us to stray. And I see in God's word a protection mechanism, if you would, and that it guides us. And he says, your word have I treasured in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. Well, if I'm struggling with sin and struggling with all kinds of issues in my life, do I understand that maybe I've gotten a little bit too big for my britches? I can handle this and I need to return to God's word. Lamp to my feet, light to my path. I need God's guidance for everything in life. You need God's guidance for everything in life. And some of us right now, this might be way out there. By the grace of God, I hope today to bring it a little bit closer in here to your living room where you live. Because in these seats, perhaps right in the seat in which you are sitting in, or maybe it's the person that's sitting next to you, there's people today that need God's guidance. Some here today who are struggling and understand that God's word, yes, it guides us in our walk, but I also want you to see beyond that, maybe there's some here today who are struggling with weakness. Well, let me speak to you for a second, because God's word, verse 107, says he guides us in our weakness. Look at verse 107. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Anybody ever experience weakness? Struggle with fears? Remember about 15 years ago, standing before my pastor, and he's a young man, 24 years old at the time, hearing the vows that we were repeating after him. It's amazing. 24 years old, we got the world by our hands. We hear for richer or poorer, but what we hear for richer, not for poorer. In sickness or in health, we hear a sickness part is in one ear, out the other, and health is what we hear. And we're gazing into each other's eyes, expecting to have life just kind of continue on the upward trend for us and not struggle, not have any hiccups, no roadblocks, no speed bumps in our life. And about 6 years ago, driving down to West Virginia to go be with one of our church members whose mom was in hospice at the time, my wife began experiencing some tremendous eye pain, which ultimately led to a diagnosis of a chronic illness. Saw my wife in a very short period of time lose complete eyesight in her right eye, lose complete ability to walk. Our world was turned upside down. And in her journey, in her relationship with God, I began to be convicted because she's not one to complain. Never asking, why me, God? But turn to me one day and say, why not me? And as a husband, I want to fix everything. I want her not to have to deal with this. And so God had to take me out to the woodshed to help me to understand he's God. He's in control. He's got everything handled. And do you understand that the scripture says, Paul would help us to hear this in the New Testament, that when I am weak, then he is strong. And only those who are acquainted with weakness experience a unique way in which God in the Spirit is able to supply strength in our weakness. And while I don't thank God for the trial, I thank God for what he's done in bringing my wife closer to each other through the midst of the trial. He's still at work and he's still faithful. He's a friend that's closer than any brother. In our weakness, he guides. Because sometimes when things don't go our way, when life's not unfolding the way that we planned out, sometimes we can become bitter. in our pride, we shake our fist at God. I remember growing up as a young boy, one of my favorite TV shows was Different Strokes. You may have seen it. Little old Gary Coleman invariably would get into conflict with his older brother Willis and had these famous few words whenever Willis would say something to Gary that he didn't like. What you talking about, Willis? And a lot of times when God brings stuff in and allows stuff into our lives, it's like we're shaking our fists at him. What you talking about, God? I love the fact that the psalmist here is giving full vent and expression to the human experience in our journey and our relationship with God, that he is a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He guides us. Yes, even in our weakness, he is there, a friend that sticks closer than any brother. And this psalmist here is helping us to see that not only does God guide us, his word guide us in our walk, it guides us in our weakness, but his word also guides us in our worship. And when I say that, I know we're all in the same place. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But Sunday mornings is not only when we worship. Our life is a response of worship, of gratitude to who he is. And so even as I'm speaking to my wife or speaking to my children, has anybody had God's spirit before the words come off your tongue? Restrain what you were getting ready to say and thank him for it. That his word, it guides us in our worship. In Psalm 119, verse 108, he says, "Oh, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances." All of life, he's guiding. Our walk, wherever we walk, our weakness, whenever we're weak, in our worship, in our life, our response to who he is, we're living for his glory. So I thank God this morning because I need this reminder of how precious his all-sufficient word is for our life and for our living. That we never have arrived. We've never grown too big for our britches. We all should be this 16-year-old behind the wheel with daddy in the car with us in need of his direction, checking off with him. So God's word guides. And I'm thankful for that. But his word is all sufficient. It not only does it guide us, but his word also guards us. If you walk on with me through this journey, through the Psalm 119, verse 109, the Bible says, "My life is continually in my hand." Your version might say, "My soul is continually in danger, yet I don't forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, and yet I have not gone astray from your precepts." God's word guides us. Well, you might ask, preacher, well, how does God's word guide us? And I want you to see a few things that God's word does in guarding us here. Beginning in verse 109, God's word guards us first by calming our internal fears. "My life, Lord, is continually in my hand, yet I don't forget your law." Some may have concerns about this economy. Maybe some here today concerned about a loved one. Maybe anxious about a marital situation. Students overwhelmed by academic pressures. But do you understand there is a joy present for all of us because God, in the midst of our fears, do you understand this? The Bible says, "Cast all your cares upon him." Why? Because he cares for you. That at the end of the day, there's something great about knowing that I've got the all-wise, all-sovereign, all-powerful God who's the Alpha and the Omega, whose arms aren't too short to save. There's nothing that he cannot handle. So why in the world do I pursue life in a way in which days go past where I'm not in this, where his word is our daily bread, but I act like I can go months without it? that I'm all sufficient in my wisdom because of my degrees that are on my resume. I don't need God. But at the end of the day, I want to remind us that pride goes before a fall. And I've been out of high school for 20 years. Do you know how people remember me back there? Don't remember my name. Oh, you're the guy that hit the school bus. I'm relocating to Powell, Tennessee. I love God's word is our guide. Amen? God's word guards us by calming our internal fears. But verse 110 says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not gone astray from your precepts. Not only does God's word guard us by calming our internal fears, but God's word also guards us by hindering our external foes. The circumstances that you're going to face this week, the people in your life that have become your quote unquote thorn in the flesh, the situations out there that you are losing sleep over, getting ulcers over, trying to fix and correct. Do you understand God's word speaks to this? That's why I want you to flip back a few chapters earlier, Psalm chapter 23. I want you to see all this mimicked and echoed in David's Psalm in Psalm 23 for us all. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. I shall not want. He provides for me. He makes me to lie down. I can rest in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters because, do you understand, sheep are very skittish. They're like me behind the wheel. On my first driving lesson, the least little thing will send us off running. Do you understand that these quiet waters, he's got everything under control. He leads me beside these quiet waters. He restores my soul, this internal anguish, anxiety, this turmoil, this stress. He guides me. He guides me. He guides me in paths, or the right paths, for his name's sake. He's got more invested in you than you realize. And at the end of the day, not only do I see him guiding, I see him guarding. Because even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear not. Not because I can defend myself, but because he can defend me. He is with me. His rod, his staff, he comforts me. Do you understand? Jesus communicated about the role of the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter, a paraclete, someone who comes alongside. He, inside of us, taking care of those internal fears that we medicate for. That we go to happy hour for to try to get the edge off. That we seek comfort in other things. All the while, his word is a lamp to my feet. The things that I'm struggling with and losing sleep over about what's going to happen out there, he's already got that covered. He's not worried about that. You cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. He guides, and I'm grateful. He guards, and I'm grateful. Because in God's word, do you understand that we see how all-sufficient God is for all of our needs? Everything. So he calms, he guards how? By calming my internal fears. And he also guards by hindering my external foes. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Remember, I'm the oldest of four kids, and invariably we have sibling rivalries. I got a brother that's 11 months younger than me, and so in our house, in our neighborhood, when we were growing up, you didn't know that we were brothers the way we used to fight. And our parents had a real strict rule that when we got into any kind of altercation, they had the worst punishments, like cruel and unusual punishments. My brothers and I, we would get into altercations growing up. Mom would make us sit next to each other and hold each other's hands. That is wrong. And so we would get to squeezing each other's hands. Mom would sit on one side of the couch. Dad usually wasn't home. He was off at work somewhere. We'd squeeze each other's hands. And she'd see us fidgeting and she'd turn and look at us. And I'd act like I'm scratching my head. And I'd make faces at my brother when he was sitting there on the couch because I'm trying to aggravate him. But do you understand? Even when your own brother's your enemy, he can't do anything to me while I'm on the couch because Mom's right there. In this text here, I see so much. God handles so much. Psalm 119, verse 157, the same chapter we're in. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I don't turn aside from your testimonies. God's word, it handles our fears. Aren't you glad about that this morning? That God, he's trustworthy. And think about that just for a second. That means he's worth your trust. God, he's trustworthy. That in every moment, during every day, I need him every hour. His word, a lamp to my feet. The things that I'm stressing over out there. If I'm walking with him here, do you understand that out there, there's no fear? He's got all that covered. Are you glad about it this morning? But God's word being all sufficient for all of our needs. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. God's word is all sufficient for all my needs. Say that. Now say amen. Amen. Now, his word guides us. His word guards us. And some are a little bit discouraged here today. Maybe some a little depressed today. God's word, lastly, it gives us joy. Verse 119, chapter 119, verse 111. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I've turned my heart to perform your statutes forever, even to the end. God's word gives us joy because number one, it's our permanent inheritance. It's eternal. It's never changing. Circumstances change, situations change, relationships change. But do you understand God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Our inheritance that we have received. He's allowed his word to be planted in our hearts. His word that guides, his word that guards, his word that gives joy. The psalmist would say in the same chapter, verse 174, I long for your salvation, O Lord. Your law is my delight. Psalm chapter 37, verse 4 says, I delight myself in the Lord. Or delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, one of the greatest evidences we have of our salvation is how many of you realize this morning that some of the things that you used to find pleasure in, you don't find pleasure in anymore. Some of the things you used to long for and crave for, those cravings have been replaced. How many of you are thankful this morning that what you used to desire, you don't desire anymore? Thankful that God has changed our heart, changed our lives. God is faithful. He's been at work for us and in us for a long time now. And I know where I came from. I thank God this morning that he's not through with me yet. But to see how far he's brought me from, do you understand? God's word is guiding me all the way, guarding me all the way, giving joy for the journey. Do you understand? I am so thankful for his all-sufficient, the greatness of God's word. It covers all of these bases. Thankful because I can still remember how life used to be in my pride. And I am a proud man. And I realized very early on the tail end of driver's ed, taking my license, not my provisional, my license and waving it at my brothers. Look what I got. Driving from my school, only to have my ego that used to be this big deflated in an instant. How do y'all know God is faithful? The scripture says, even when I went astray, I was afflicted. But do you understand God's affliction is an expression of his love towards us that we might learn his statutes over and over again? How many of you ever have strayed from God's word and strayed from his direction, strayed from his leading, only to find yourself going through some adversity as a result? I thank God when he turns up the heat to remind me where I need to be, to get me back walking with him, to remind me that every day, day by day, I need his wisdom because his ways aren't my ways. His thoughts aren't my thoughts. He guides. So I'm sure all of us can remember what life used to be like prior to Jesus redeeming us. What life used to be like when you used to self-medicate trying to fix your problems and deal with your stresses and handle all of those things, when you felt like the weight of the world was on your shoulders. And I don't know any better way to help illustrate this but to give you an illustration from one of my favorite preachers by the name of Dr. Tony Evans. He's a big guy. Anybody seen him? Big guy. Guess what? He used to be a lifeguard or water safety instructor. I can't imagine, but that's what he was. On this particular day, teaching these lifeguards how to rescue people and how to, do what you need to do to rescue people in the event of some major catastrophe, there wasn't an illustration this time. On this day, no, there was a real life drowning that was occurring on the opposite side of the pool. Dr. Evans, being the water safety instructor, teaching all of the lifeguards what needs to be done in more serene environments. Now it was on. This is real life. And here on the south side of the pool, you had Dr. Evans going over a lesson with these lifeguards. On the north side of the pool was a man who was literally gasping and choking and flailing his arms up in the sky, trying to keep his head above the water. Dr. Evans, even as big as he is, he looks good doing this. Freestyled down to the opposite side of the pool while all the lifeguards were there watching. And he gets up just a few yards in front of this drowning man that's on his north side of the pool, still flailing his hands. And coincidentally, if any of you are ever finding yourself drowning, stop doing this. There's nothing up there to save you. But he gets in front of the man and he starts treading water. And he's waiting there. The man keeps going underwater only to come back up, choking, coughing, spewing water out of his mouth, looking in Dr. Evans' eyes, wondering, why aren't you saving me? And I believe what this drowning man had to realize and recognize as long as you feel like you can save yourself, every time you move and make a move, you're pushing me away from you. But it's not until you come beyond yourself and recognize your own limitations and have gone to the place of futility where you recognize you can't get yourself fixed. But then Dr. Evans swam behind the man. And he came up and he reached out and put his arm around the guy's shoulder and up around his neck. And he side-stroked him to the edge of the pool. Placed him up on the edge of the pool deck. Began breathing into his mouth. Performing CPR. And water gushed out of this guy's chest, out of his lungs. And do you understand? The first words out of his mouth was, "Thank you for saving me." Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, do you recognize God has rescued us, redeemed us, He's guiding us, He's guarding us, He gives us joy. Do you understand how all-sufficient God's word is for all of our life? And do you realize how much time we waste while we try to go at it alone? When on our pride, we say we don't need Him. Now, I know nobody verbally is going to say that here this morning, especially not down here in the South. But do you hear me this morning? We say that every day. When we wake up, we rush out the door. We don't spend time with Him in His Word. Don't spend time with Him in prayer. What we have communicated effectively to the Lord. When the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, every step of the way, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. The areas of your life and your family that you struggle with, if we turn it over to Him and allow Him to handle it and recognize His all-sufficiency, I'll be in this every day. So if you hear me this morning, if you hear God's word this morning, I believe there's only but a few legitimate responses that we can give this morning. I would claim this morning that God's word is essential for Christian living. Essential. Essential. My prayer is this morning that our souls would crave what God's word provides. Wisdom beyond your years. Protection better than ADT. Joy that surpasses any medication. He's the all-sufficient one. We are the one in need. And I thank God this morning that He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. The Lord is our shepherd. Amen. Let's bow and look to the Lord in a quick word of prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your word this morning and the treasure that we find therein. Cause us, Father, to hunger and thirst for Your word. Cause us, Father, to have our love affair with Your word rekindled to the place and to the degree that we demonstrate our need for You by time spent therein. Remind us, Father, when we go astray in our pride and in our arrogance, living like we don't need You. May we view the affliction that we find ourselves in as good, Father, because You are good and You do good. Restore us. Lead us. Guide us. Guard us. God, grant us joy from Your word, Your all-sufficient word. Father, we give You thanks. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let all God's people say, amen.